You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the sparkling water selection in the grocery store has become much larger, and it might be in part because people are turning away more and more from soda over the years. We'll hear more from a reporter. First, diagnosed cases of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, are on the rise in America. That's according to a new study published last week in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which found that ADHD rates among U.S. kids jumped substantially in the past 20 years. While boys are still more likely to be diagnosed, the study also found that the prevalence of the disorder among girls has gone up. Researchers also noted that Black and Hispanic children are being diagnosed with ADHD at higher rates than in the past. Dr. Patrick Remington joins us now to talk more about this latest ADHD data. He's a professor and associate dean of public health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here, Rob.
Well, whenever I see numbers like this, I wonder, does this mean more kids have ADHD or we're getting better at diagnosing ADHD?
Or both.
Okay.
We don't really know. ADHD, as you know, or ADD, attention deficit disorder, falls into the category of a condition that does not have a blood test. It does not have a specific diagnosis. It relies on a number of characteristics of children, and it relies on a clinician making the diagnosis. And so it could be that the increase from about 6% to 10% in 2016, 10% of kids ages 4 to 17. It could be that that's entirely due to changes in diagnosis and in patients' awareness of the condition, or it could be that some portion of that is an actual increase in the underlying condition itself.
Now, let's talk about ADD and ADHD. Just briefly, what are they? What do we mean when we use those terms?
Well, again, there's a standard definition in what we call the DSM, the fifth version of that, where there are specific criteria that clinicians use to diagnose it. Basically, it has to do with the term itself, attention deficit. Kids tend to be impulsive, can tend to have trouble concentrating and focusing, but it's often diagnosed not with attention to those specific criteria, but more in a general clinical sense. So it could be diagnosed by a pediatrician or a primary care provider. It may not be diagnosed by somebody who specializes and uses those exact criteria.
And what treatments, what treatment options are there once we have that diagnosis?
Well, there are a number of treatment options from behavioral counseling to things that parents and children can do with regimen at home and in school. It can also be treated with medicine. And that depends really on a conversation between the provider, the parent, and the child. Oftentimes, children in their teens will be involved in that treatment decision. And so it's not necessarily treated with medicine, but oftentimes it does end up that people try other means and the parents or the child is frustrated with their ability to focus, with their ability to sit still in class, and so that medicine is often the resorted to.
There are arguments sometimes that ADD is overdiagnosed, that medications are overprescribed, that this is just kids being put in kind of an unnatural situation where they're supposed to sit still all day. The problem isn't necessarily the kid. It's the environment that they're in. The authors of the new study don't seem to think that's the problem. What do you think?
I think it could be a factor. The environment is changing. We know there's an obesity epidemic, and that didn't happen just overnight. It didn't happen by changing biology or genetics. The environment changed, and those things that lead to obesity in kids could also lead to the expression of a tendency towards attention deficit. For example, spending more time in a seat, less physical activity, changes in diet could even affect mental health. So I think the evidence is certainly that all of these factors are to play, but I think there's a good evidence that the environment that kids live in, their school and home environment, especially the food and physical activity environment, has changed, and that could contribute to and not an increase in sort of the biologic tendency, but in the expression of that biologic tendency that a kid could have.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at an increase over the last couple decades from about 6% to about 10% in diagnosis of ADHD among American kids and adolescents. So what do we do to bring that number down? Assuming, or I don't know, maybe we don't want to bring it down. Maybe we're happy we're finding kids with ADHD and are able to treat them. What do you think?
Well, I think there are several implications of the study. First is to continue to do a better job of surveillance. This study is done annually. It's the Health National Health Interview Survey, and they ask parents whether their child has ever been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD. So this is a question of a parent referring to what a doctor or provider may have said. I think it would be better to have more objective measures of actual objective measures in surveillance. So we need better data. The second issue is that it calls into attention the need for better treatment, that these kids should be cared for by a primary care provider and somebody who pays attention to the diagnosis. And again, I think people would argue that there, just as with autism, there's a spectrum from kids who clearly have ADHD fully expressed and are not able to cope in a learning environment, to those who are expressing a bit of energy and resistance to having to sit in a chair for long periods of time. There's good evidence that if we change the learning environment, provide more physical activity, more active learning environments, that those kids can be really better off simply by changing the learning environment.
And one change in ADHD over the years, according to the report, is in demographics. I think if you had a poster child for ADHD 20 years ago, it would be white and male. This report is finding more reports of ADHD diagnosis for girls and for children of color.
Well, it's the relative increase. So, boys went up, but relatively didn't go up as much as girls and kids of color. And so the relative increase has been greater in that group, but they're still much less likely to be diagnosed. And again, one of the things, if a kid is exhibiting unruly behavior in school and it happens to be a white boy, you may be more inclined to blame ADD or ADHD than if it were a young girl or a person of color. And again, that's nothing to say that there isn't underlying similarity in the condition, but in our likelihood to diagnose it, we may be patterned to say that young boys have that as a diagnosis and less likely to do that with young girls. The same thing in heart attacks. Women often present with symptoms of heart attacks. They're slightly different, but clinicians may not think that this is a heart attack if it's a woman. They may not think that it's ADD if it's a young girl or a person of color.
Can you talk about healthcare access as it relates to diagnosis and treatment of ADHD?
Well, again, it's important that these conditions are addressed in total, in the school setting, because this is often where the symptoms become a concern for teachers, with the family, because this is not a condition that simply needs to be treated with a medicine. It's a family that comes to in the treatment setting, and it's also a pediatrician or a family medicine doctor or a trained psychologist. So it's really a team approach in understanding the problem. Is this a concern with the setting that the child is in, or is it really a behavior problem that needs to be addressed? And then treatments are done similarly with a team approach.
Now, you mentioned this is all based on this annual report, self-reported, basically, as you say, by families. What would you like to see in the public health community when it comes to monitoring this, so we have a better idea of what's really going on with ADHD?
Well, again, I think the in-person objective studies that are done, we do a study called the Survey of Health of Wisconsin, where we go and measure people in person. Those type of studies get objective measures. Same with autism, that we can rely on parents' reports or provider reports, but I think more research and better surveillance with objective measures. They're more expensive, but we can do smaller studies to monitor those conditions more objectively over time. And whether or not this is truly increasing or simply increasing in parent reports, it is a public health issue. 1 out of 10 kids is exhibiting a behavior that makes learning harder in the school setting. And so we need to address it. But I think we tend as a society to go to quick fixes and medicine can be perceived as a quick fix, and that doesn't solve the underlying problem. The environment that the kid's in, at home or at school, could be a cofactor in why these symptoms are being exhibited. So I think we need to consider it, as we do all public health problems, with a comprehensive approach.
Dr. Remington, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Patrick Remington's a professor and associate dean of public health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us to talk about the latest data on ADHD, in America.